podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the 1865 match report. As we reflect on a day at the seaside to forget for Forest, as they were dumped out of the FA Cup in the third round following a surprise 4-1 defeat to Championship strugglers Blackpool. Sadly, there's going to be no repeat of the great cup run of last season, and Forest exit the FA Cup at the first possible stage this season. Steve Cooper's side were punished for a host of defensive errors and for a lack of clinical finishing up front, as Blackpool themselves were the clinical side, gobbled up all their chances and recorded their first win in 10 games. I've got Adam with me to look back on the game, and Adam was one of the hardy souls who made the trip up to the seaside, to Bloomfield Road, and cheer Forest on. I mean, that must have been a bit of a tough day, Adam.
Yeah, look, it's a long day, isn't it? But it's one of them things. I mean, the fans were just excellent, as you can probably expect. And, you know, there were a few fans around me that, you know, it got a bit sour, but yeah, it's getting in it. You kind of expect it in a way as well. So, but yeah, no, look, it is what it is.
Team news then. So Forest made 11 changes to the side that beat Southampton in midweek. It saw Wayne Hennessy return in goal, Nico Williams, Steve Cook, Scott McKenna and Harry Toffolo as a back four, Lewis O'Brien, Jack Colback and debutant Billy Fuster in the middle of the park, with Gustavo Scarpa making his first full start as a Forest player, Sam Surridge and Emmanuel Dennis completing the starting 11, with the likes of Joe Worrell, Oral Mangala, Ryan Yates, Renan Lodi on the bench. When you saw that team, Adam, first of all, were you happy, and did you feel that Forest had enough on the pitch to get the job done?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Steve Cooper said after the game, that 11 should have had more than enough to beat Blackpool. You know, that team itself would be a team or a starting 11 at the very least, I think, would challenge at the, you know, the sort of playoffs top end of the Championship. You know, so, you know, why not play that sort of team? And the thing is as well, there's a lot of people that have said that, yeah, why do we even change the team? Why don't we keep the same 11? You put yourself in that scenario, or Brennan Johnson, Morgan Gibbs-White, or, you know, Yates even, for example, you know, go and gets injured against Blackpool, you know, everyone's then going to go, oh, why don't we make more changes? Why don't we put the fringe players in? You know, it's a good opportunity for these players to go out there and say to Steve Cooper, look, I deserve to play in the Premier League. You know, and unfortunately, you could probably count on one hand how many did that.
Yeah, it was the overriding feeling is a lot of players failed to make the most of that opportunity that they were given, and certainly doesn't reflect well on the squad and the depth in there, but we'll come to that in a bit more detail later. Let's talk through the action, and Blackpool took the lead 17 minutes in, and this really was the first of Forest's defensive calamities. It started with a cross that came in from the left. Lewis O'Brien heads it, attempts to clear, doesn't do a particularly good job. The ball loops up, drops to Shane Lavery in the box. His efforts blocked by Scott McKenna. You could argue this bit, the next bit's fortuitous because it rolls across to Marvin Ekpeteta, but he has quite a simple finish. In the end, he sweeps it home. And really, Forest brought it on themselves, didn't they, with poor defending?
It's awful defending. We can sugarcoat it. We can make it sound better than it is. It was terrible defending. It's not acceptable level of defending, ultimately. And it really costs that first goal. But by the way, the Blackpool centre-half you mentioned there, he's absolutely excellent on the day. You know, take nothing away from it. He was absolutely brilliant on the day. But yeah, look, he's had a simple finish. And ultimately, it's our own doing. And I think a theme of the game and a theme of a lot of what happened was it was our own doing. It's simple mistakes we've made that have caused, you know, these goals and these chances that Blackpool have created. And it's, I think that's more frustrating than anything, to be honest.
Forest responded, though, didn't they? They came back and actually looked quite good for a spell. They moved the ball around quickly and looked to stretch Blackpool. And when they did that, they looked pretty decent. The big chance that the first big chance they had, Emmanuel Dennis, he cut in from the left-hand side and bent a shot, which hit the crossbar. A good effort, but a little bit unlucky. Perhaps that one didn't go in. But then Sam Surridge, he was played in from an angle, albeit, but he shoots and it hits the side netting. And that's how it stayed at half-time, 1-0 to Blackpool. But some signs there that Forest were playing reasonably well. And it was a similar story in the second half. They had a good spell, didn't they, Forest, when they came out for that second half, but just couldn't capitalise on it.
It was such a weird game. And I think we said in our group chat at half-time, it was such a weird game. And I was fairly confident we'd get back into it because, obviously, yeah, Dennis hit the bar. Remember Nico Williams having a really good chance where he's hammered it and the goalkeeper's got down and made a good save. But maybe you could say Nico should score. I remember Sam Surridge hitting the side netting from an angle where he maybe should have scored. So, yeah, there was definitely chances in the first half. And I think on the day, I mean, Sam Surridge probably could have had four. It was that sort of game, you know, like, and we just weren't clinical at all in the first half. And, you know, Emmanuel Dennis got a lot of stick from behind me. And to be honest, the first half, I think he played quite well. I don't think he did an awful lot wrong. You know, he had his chance where he cut in and hit the bar. He looked dangerous. I think the only criticism I would give Emmanuel Dennis is that he's just a bit selfish.
Yeah.
He's not really a system player. He's more of a, you know, you put me on the pitch and I'll do what I want to do, rather than working towards the system. And that's probably the reason that he got a lot of stick from the Forest fans. But yeah, I mean, a lot of chances first half. And that's just, as I say, I mean, I was very confident half time thinking, look, they're 1-0 up. They can't hold on. They won't sustain this. We'll go out there second half, we'll get a couple of goals and yeah, there won't be a problem. But unfortunately, obviously that wasn't the case.
And that, yeah, like you say, it was weird in so much that Blackpool were not offering a great deal. It's not like it was an end-to-end game with chances for both teams. It was all Forest for long periods. That continued into the second half, but so too did Forest's lack of clinical edge. It was Sam Surridge again. He was, 8 yards out, and Dennis picks him out with a cross, and he just knocks the ball over the bar, which you're just expecting the net to board when it's Surridge in that position.
I think that's it as well, though, isn't it, with Sam? It's like, there's been a lot of call for him to start in the Premier League, and every time someone said that, I've said, I don't think his overall game's good enough to play in the Premier League. You know, to be a Premier League striker, it's not just about scoring goals, it's about everything else you do. And you see that with Taiwo, that he does everything else better than Surridge. And there's been a question mark, is Surridge a better finisher than Taiwo? I mean, but if I'm looking around our whole football club, if I have one player in that position with that chance where it's just put across the 6-yard box to roll in, I mean, Surridge is probably the guy you want, isn't it, on the end of that? I don't know how he's missed. He surely think it's harder to put it over the ball than it was to just get it on target and score. So it's incredibly frustrating. Incredibly frustrating. And I think that he'll probably come out of that game with thinking, have I not had a couple of goals today at least? But there has been an overreaction. That doesn't surprise me for Forest fans, but there has been an overreaction on social media. You know, Surridge is not good enough. He's this, he's that. He's not better than Taiwo. We can see that. That's not, you know, that's not a secret. But he is still a useful player. And I think on another day, he has a couple of goals. But I think the general theme of the game was, on another day, this happens. On another day, this might happen. And that's kind of where we find ourselves. And I it was one of those games where you look at the stats. Blackpool had 5 shots on target and scored 4 goals. That tell you all you need to know about this game of football, really, won't it? It's just
everything they hit went in, pretty much, wasn't it? And on another day, Sam Surridge gets 3 or 4, Forest probably win 4-1, and they're in the next round of the cup, and it's all nice and routine. And again, those missed chances. O'Brien had a shot which was deflected wide. Then Emmanuel Dennis was played in really nicely, actually, by Scarpa. And he was one-on-one, but a defender comes across and blocks his shot well. But talk us through Blackpool's second goal, Adam, because, again, this was another poor bit of defensive play from Forrest. And Nico Williams, who did look off the pace in this game, it was a bad mistake from him, wasn't it?
I mean, you know, he's just before the goal as well, he's taken the ball down beautifully, plucked the ball out of the air.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely brilliant touch. And I'm just thinking, he puts this up the line, or, you know, go over the top, you know, do that sort of thing with it. And he just plays it blind. He doesn't look, he plays it blind. And it's a difficult watch. And I watched it back after I got home, and it was just like, I can't think what's in his head. Because even best case scenario, it gets back to Hennessy, who smashes it up the pitch, and we might lose the ball anyway. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario is exactly what happened. And yeah, look, I mean, Nico had a bad day. He had a really bad day. He had his worst day in a Forest shirt, and he knows that. I don't think he needs anyone to tell him that. But it was a poor mistake, and it was a day full of them. But this was by far the worst.
Yeah, it was. It was a goal which prompted changes from Steve Cooper. So we saw Brennan Johnson come on for Lewis O'Brien, and then Ryan Yates for Billy Fewster. Johnson did have a quick impact down the right-hand side, driving at the Blackpool defence. He crossed Surridge in the middle, and his effort clips the bar and goes over. And within, 5 minutes, Blackpool go up the other end and make it 3-0. I mean, this one was actually quite a good goal, to be fair to them. It's worked between CJ Hamilton and I think it was Kenny Dougal, and they have a nice little link up down the left. You could argue Nico Williams there. He's got to be more alive to Hamilton's run. He's ball watching a bit, but Hamilton still has a lot to do, and he smashes it low past Hennessy. But at 3-0, you're more or less, it's game over at that point, isn't it? And
yeah, know, I mean, I think again, Nico Williams is probably at fault for this one as well. It's just bad. It's just poor defending. I mean, CJ Hamilton on the day, I thought, played really well. Ex-Mansfield man, I think he's a good player. I think he played really well. I think Pervada played really well. You know, they both caused a lot of issues. But yeah, again, you probably look at Williams and think, that's where the goals come from. And it's frustrating because we've not seen this from Williams. He's been fairly consistent, and he's not really given us this kind of... There's been sort of calls from a lot of Forest fans, and I think it's slightly lazy journalism or lazy opinions on Nico Williams that he can't defend, because he can defend. I think he can defend. But today, he just didn't show that side of his game at all. There was almost a bit of a complacency about him when he was playing. He was trying to get forward all the time. I mean, at times I'm looking up and he's trying to play right wing. And I'm thinking, we're playing a four-back. We're not playing a wing-back system. We're playing a four-back. And you're trying to play right wing. You're trying to overlap all the time. And I'm thinking, that space is there all the time. And it's just... And then obviously when he's caught ball watching here, I think it's the final nail in the coffin from a lot of Forest fans about Nico Williams today, because it was just that sort of game for him. Nothing went right for him.
Well, that's it. I mean, he's got a lot of potential, as we know. He's 21, still got a lot of football left to play. So as disappointing as this game is, I'd say, well, maybe just put that down as a bad day for him, and you know, he'll come back stronger, because like as you say, he's generally been quite solid in a Forest shirt. And certainly when you look at how he plays for Wales as well, he's a very solid performer there. So, you know, we'll see how he responds, and of course how Forest do as well. But Blackpool made it 4-0, 87 minutes. This one, it was a short corner. Nobody really is alive enough to pick it up from a Forest point of view. Ball comes into the box and Jerry Yates fires the ball in off the crossbar. I think I said in the WhatsApp group after it went in, if that was Sam Surridge at the other end, it hits the crossbar and goes over, or crossbar and out the stadium and in the sea, the way that Forest's day was going. So 4-0, and it's an embarrassing scoreline, whether you like it or not. Not that I think Blackpool deserved to be 4-0 up, because it wasn't a 4-0 performance from them, not by a long shot. But, you know, if you don't take your chances and if you give too much away at the back, this is what happens. But Forest did get one back in stoppage time. Cross from Harry Toffolo, which was met by a diving header by Ryan Yates into the bottom corner to give a little bit of something to back for those travelling Forest fans at Bloomfield Road. And yeah, it was just a day to forget, wasn't it, really?
No, and I think just touching on obviously the Jerry Yates goal, he took it really well, and he had an absolutely golden opportunity to score before that as well. So you could say his goal was probably coming. He's a good striker and that, and he's good, But yeah, I mean, Ryan Yates, when he came on, was just it's a very bold thing to say, but I think Yates, he might be one of our most important players. I think we look so lost when he doesn't play. I know a lot of people go, oh yeah, but he's not as good a footballer as Remo Freuler, or he's not as good a footballer as Lewis O'Brien. I'm like, it's not about that at all. It's the sort of player that every team needs, a Ryan Yates type player in their team. And I think he's just so important to how we play. And when he came on, he played well. He scored a header, which is just mental. I didn't see many Forest fans in the sea after the game. But yeah, I mean, Cooper's comments after the game, it was probably one of the most... I looked forward to this interview after the game, to thinking, what is he going to say to that? Because he's not the sort of manager that's going to blow smoke up anyone's backside for a bad performance. He's not that kind of manager. And he came out and he was ruthless. He was ruthless. He said it was some of the defending was disgraceful. It was unacceptable. A lot of the defending. He said the finishing was unacceptable. He said it was a lot of it was poor, and he wasn't wrong. And it was refreshing that he came out and sort of said, look, we've not been good enough today.
Yeah. One line he said that really stood out was that today there was too much entitlement in our game, which was quite a striking line, I thought, because he's called the players out, and rightly so, there, and said, look, you can't turn up and expect to roll opposition over. You've got to work for it and you've got to perform.
I think that came into the performance a lot. I really do. I think that we thought that we'd come here to Blackpool, bottom three in the Championship. We're on a bit of a good run of form ourselves. We've just got out of the relegation zone in the Premier League. We'll come here and we'll roll them over. And I think, to be honest, a lot of fans thought that. Maybe, but as a fan, you can. As a fan, you can think, oh, we come here, we win. But as a player, you've got to be professional. You've got to look at the... You can only beat the team in front of you. You've got to play the team in front of you. And you've got to win more second ball. I can't remember us winning a second ball, honestly. They wanted it more. It was a typical Championship versus Premier League performance by them. We didn't weather it. We conceded sloppy goals and we paid the price. And there's no, I would say I'm very much a positive Forest fan, but there's not really a lot I can say today that makes this better. It was unacceptable, the performance. It was unacceptable. The defending was atrocious. It was some of the worst defending I've seen in a very long time. And going forward, you can't miss as many chances as we did. And it's as simple as that, really. And it echoed by what Steve Cooper said.
The 1865 Match Report.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Adam, looking back now with a day's reflection after this Blackpool game, do we really need to worry too much about this result and what happened? Because after all, this is a second string team that's played in a competition that's not really our priority this season. So do we just write this one off and look to the next game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we can overreact about it and we can say, oh, we might have had a good cup run, all this sort of stuff. But ultimately, if you have a good cup run, you go deep into the competition. That's another competition that you've got to put some players out for. And, I think this game highlighted that we don't have the depth. We clearly don't. And you know, there needs to be a little bit of recruitment in January. It depends who leaves. I think obviously if Surridge leaves and Dennis leave, then I think there's certainly a degree of we need a striker, because without Tywell, I think we struggle. But yeah, no, there's no reason to panic. I mean, we lost the game. We weren't good enough, but it wasn't our strongest 11. We're going to play probably, I would argue, unless the Scarpa starts midweek, we're probably going to play 11 different players against Wolves in the Carabao Cup quarterfinal. So there's no reason to worry at all. It won't, you know, it shouldn't affect the league form. It shouldn't affect the cup run we've got in the Carabao Cup. So we all need to calm down and probably just think, you know what, we will recover from this. You know, we will bounce back. If we go and beat Wolves on Wednesday, I guarantee this result's forgotten.
Yeah,
by a lot of the fans anyway.
Yeah, and you're in a semi-final then of a cup competition, and who knows at that point. But yeah, you're right. I think it will. It will sort of get rid of any lingering feeling about what's happened at Blackpool, and it would be the perfect response from Forest to beat Wolves. A word there, because you mentioned him, Gustavo Scarpa. I think he's probably the only player, certainly out of the ones who started at Bloomfield Road, to come out of the game with credit. Again, thought he was bright and lively, and some of his passing was really good. Did you see that as well in the stadium?
Just he was a level above every other player on the pitch. Ultimately, that's what it came down to. I felt sorry for him. You know, he's on the ball, he's looking around, he's thinking, "Oh, I'm going to play it forward," or "Oh, I need a run." But they were like statues. Every time Scarpa got the ball, the fans were like, "Oh, you know, something's going to happen." He was that sort of player, and you know, he just needs a runner. A Brennan Johnson in front of him, you know, it would be deadly against Blackpool. We would have ripped them to shreds. You know, and again, he's played the ball into Dennis second half. You know, I believe it was still 1-0 at the time. He's rolled it into Dennis. Dennis is 1-1 with the goalkeeper and didn't score. You know, there was a stat that I read that Scarpa created 2 key chances on the day, right? And both of those key chances, I remember both of them were, when both of them should have been a goal. So that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He was excellent on the day. And I think he should start against Wolves, especially because Gibbs White's fitness is not 100%. Tywo's not 100%. So we could see maybe a return of that kind of Johnson, Gibbs White, Scarpa, if Gibbs White's fit, something along those lines. Obviously, Lingard's still out. So I think he's warranted a start. But out of the 11 players that started, he's probably the only one that I can say covered himself in glory.
Do you think this result and the performance will see changes made in the transfer window, perhaps players shipped out or certainly new players being brought in to try and bolster the squad as we go into the second half of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'll be a couple of players that played yesterday that won't play another game in a Forest shirt, quite frankly. You know, I felt a bit bad for Fuster, to be fair. He's been chucked in. He's obviously clearly a talented lad, but he was very out of his depth. But he's 19. It's to be expected that he's going to struggle a bit. I think he was okay on the day. There's a couple of game players there that I'm looking at thinking, I wouldn't want them to play another game for Forest. I mean, Steve Cook, for example, love Steve Cook. I think he's a fantastic role model. He's great to have in the dressing room, but I don't think he should be playing another game for Forest. I don't think he's got the... He's not at the level anymore. Certainly, I think he's very much past it. And I think that we need to sort of, you know, move on from these sort of players. I think Wayne Hennessy, again, maybe I'm being harsh. I wouldn't want to see him play for Forest again. And, you know, there's some younger lads in there that will get another chance. But, there's a lot of players I think he's probably looking at now thinking they'll be going in January, and then we look to maybe bring a couple of players in and see what happens. But what can we say? Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of players out there. And after the game, you know, we all sort of get a little bit angry after the game. We all get a bit frustrated. But yeah, I've slept on it now, and there's no way for me that a few of those players play again for us. I'd still like to only bring in sort of 3 or 4 quality players, but if we brought in a bit of depth, it wouldn't bother me at all.
It does show you, doesn't it, that the importance of having that strongest 11, which I think Steve Cooper is, if he's not there yet, he's very close to it, knowing what his best 11 is. and playing that week in, week out in the Premier League. And one positive to come from this, if anything, is whilst I don't like to see Forest lose 4-1 and I don't like to see Steve Cooper losing by 4-1, I'm quite glad we've got Steve Cooper as our manager off the back of a result like that, because he won't stand for that. He will set a standard and a level that would say to these players, no, that is not good enough. That cannot happen again. And it certainly won't happen again on my watch.
Yeah, and that's certainly what he said after the game as well, wasn't it? He came out and he said that was unacceptable. Those standards aren't what we expect of the club. I think he's definitely got the mindset that a lot of his fans have, where it doesn't matter what 11 players are out on the pitch. If they're wearing a Forest shirt, those standards aren't acceptable. And I think that's probably where we stand from that. So, yeah, it's one of them. It's tough for Cooper now, because I think he was probably hoping that a lot of these players would come out and, you know, maybe prove that they've got every right to be playing in the Premier League, maybe that they could be an option for him, that sort of thing. But no one really did. I think that probably makes his job harder. It gives him a bit of a headache that he doesn't want at all. And I feel for him. I do feel for him. But that's what he gets paid for. And that's his job, to sort of make sure we get set for Wednesday and heads haven't dropped. I'm sure that the players that you call first team players that came on, obviously Johnson, Yates and that sort of thing, I'd imagine that that wouldn't have killed them today. They've come on and they've both played well since they came on. So hopefully it doesn't affect them too much. And we move on. And that's all we can do. That's all the fan base can do. You know, I'm sick of seeing people saying, oh, we could have done this, we could have done that online. It's not going to help. It's done now. We need to move on. And that's the end of it, really.
So looking ahead to Wednesday then, and Wolves in the quarterfinal of the Carabao Cup, how would you like to see Forest respond in that game? Would you make wholesale changes? Would you keep a couple of the Blackpool lot in there and bring a few of the Premier League players in? What do you see Forest doing on Wednesday to get this out of their system?
I'd play strongest 11. I don't think there's any reason not to. Listen, you know, a lot of our squad didn't play in the World Cup. You know, they had a month off, really. Yeah, I can't believe I'm seeing things online saying, oh, they're tired. I'm like, what from? You tell me, what are they tired from? Because there's no way in my mind that those players should be tired at this point in time. Like, go out there, put your strongest 11 out in a cup semi-final, and you've then got every opportunity then to come out and to win the game. Get to that semi-final. You've got a two-leg, you know, game against what will be a good team. We know that. But then you go from there. You know, that's what you've got to do. I wouldn't want to see any of them, aside from Scarpa, start on Wednesday. I'd be really, really annoyed if any of them start on Wednesday, other than Scarpa, to be honest.
And it's hard to argue with that as well, given how good Scarpa was. And if there's a positive to put on it, at the very least, it wasn't that strongest 11 that was on the receiving end of a 4-1 defeat at Blackpool. It's the team which is the fringe players, basically. So hopefully that doesn't carry over into Wednesday's game or the Premier League games beyond that. But we'll wait and see how Forest respond when they take to the field against Wolves. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks, Adam. And thank you as well, listener, for joining us for this match report. We will be back with you after the Wolves game in midweek with our match reports and reaction to that one. So until then, thanks again for joining us and goodbye.
Podcast Network.